sorry, did you want some kind of preamble small talk there? I've just started recording straight up. Yeah, I'm running.
Tuesday might not be quite right, so
okay, three, two, one. Amazing. Welcome, Josh Pugh. How exciting to have you here.
Yeah, my pleasure. Sorry, I had to move the record time back a little bit because my father-in-law needed my laptop to do a speed awareness course.
Do you just have one laptop for the whole extended family?
Yeah, we just pass it around. But he was dead nervous, bless him. He kept him up at night because it's Microsoft Teams. He's never used it before. So he was,
did he enjoy his speed awareness course?
Did he pass, more importantly? Yeah. Or was he bloody scared on the roads?
Yeah, no, he passed, but he had to get on at 1 o'clock, and I think he was logged on about 12:15, so a good 45 minutes before.
Great.
Waiting for it to start. But he's done it now, he's buzzing, yeah.
He's buzzing.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Have you ever done one? I've done two.
My wife's done one and she was nearly late for it as well. I think she literally had to speed to get there.
Yeah. Rack them up.
I went to one and no one wants to be there. And this one person just kept asking questions to, like, prolong the course.
Yeah, it's fucking loose, the people who are really into it, people with their books, and they're like, oh, God, so that's really interesting. I'm like, well, it isn't, is it? Like, we're all gutted about this. We're all paying to be... It's the worst course
this woman was literally like, well, actually, excuse me, like, my brother did, and we were all just sat there going, what the fuck? Like, stop talking, let us all go home.
Let's just for homework as well.
Yeah.
you get that with any course. Remember when I was at uni, there was, like, this woman, she was a bit older, and she kept absolutely, like, the intranet was called Moodle. And everything she'd ask, is this on Moodle? Everything's on Moodle. It's all on there. You don't have to ask every time. It's all on there.
Such a funny word to keep saying as well.
Yeah. It's all on there.
I was going to ask something else. No, you weren't. You were going to say Moodle again. Is it Moodle or Noodle?
Yeah, Moodle. What's that? What's it say on your top there, Beth?
Echo and the Bunnymen.
Oh, nice.
Go on.
I went to see them the other night. Tell the story.
This is a great story.
Current.
Current, so fucking current, yeah. Mate. Mate, you're talking to two people who are sharing a set of headphones. I just said to Lucy, I was like, we've got 2022 ambitions with 1980s technological knowledge. I was like,
you're the first guest that we've recorded
remotely.
Yeah. So we're literally like driving down today, 2 hours into the journey.
Within the
speed limit. Literally, we're like halfway through, and Beth goes, oh my God, I've just thought of something. She's like, we're going to have to share headphones. We've just not thought this through at all.
I've not seen that done since like year 10 up on a bench.
Oh my God, yeah, we are year 10 on a bench. Sorry.
And we have to keep, we're like two conjoined twins. Like every time we laugh, we've got to keep our heads together. So we're not really odd. We're just having to be very still.
I'm the same at the minute. I've been writing a thing. And I keep joking that this is going to be the first Tommy Nelson's ever won a BAFTA using the demo version of the writing software.
Yes! Oh, my God.
I'm just not paying for it.
That is so my energy. I still use Celltex, and I pretend that I prefer it to Final Draft, but I've just never bought. I'm like, well, I actually prefer it. But I use Celltex, and I had an award nominated BBC radio series on free writing software, and I thought, fuck all of you. I get paid for an episode what that software costs, and I've got bigger stuff to spend my money on, like not headphones, obviously, but like other
not,
stuff.
Not technology.
So I use Celltex sometimes, but it's on someone else's account, someone else's login.
Explain to me, what is Celltex, guys, relatable content-wise?
Yeah, mate.
Is it like the base level?
It's a free script writing software.
Right, okay.
But this level, it's like anything when you get these apps where you can like put your face on a celebrity and it makes you sing. You get like three goes per day.
Yeah.
I've spunked it, making my dad look like Ronan Keating. I've only got two goes left. And it's like Celltex is that you only get, I think you can do one project, can't you, without paying for it.
Oh no, we found a way to do like quite a few. We got loads on there.
Yeah.
Me and my writing partner, yeah.
Creating new email addresses and stuff.
I think so, yeah.
So professional, so professional.
So fucking professional.
But, Echo and the Bunnymen.
Oh, yeah. So, current-wise, went to see them the other night, 80s band. You know them, right?
Yeah, I've seen them. One of the first bands I've seen live.
Fucking great, aren't they?
Yeah, I didn't know their stuff then. So you can never enjoy a concert in the same way, can you?
Why,
concert,
were you four?
Gig?
Concert.
Yeah, I'll call them concerts, I do.
Yeah.
My mum calls my gigs concerts.
Does she?
Yeah, you're doing a concert. I don't think they do concerts in vegan cafes, mum, but I am doing a gig in one, yeah. But, I was about 14. And, they were good, they were wicked. I think they're old then, they were quite... Probably in the...
Yeah, so they're they were like big.
Were you going to say they were old then? They were probably in their 30s.
Yeah, but
you
this
went
is like,
to say that, didn't you? And then you stopped yourself.
Yeah, all in our 30s. This was like 16
both
years
in our
ago.
30s. All in our 30s. So yes, I loved them. My mum loved them in the 80s. She went to see them with her sister and her friend, and they were sort of at the front dancing, singing in Bristol. And mum was doing a nurse training, and they were like, there was the tour bus. They were all going onto the tour bus afterwards, and they're all like, "Way, whatever." My mum was 20, and they were like, "Girls, do you want to come back with us for an after party? Get on the tour bus, like." And my mum was like, and my mum's friend went, "Oh no, we've got to be up. We've got quite an early thing tomorrow." And mum was like, "What? Like what? What the fuck is on about?" I was like, "No, we're absolutely going on the tour bus."
Yeah.
Anyway, I've like obviously over the years gone, come on, mum. I was like, you fucking got off with one of them at least. And she's like, I really didn't. Like, we really didn't. They were so lovely. We had a really nice time. It was really
PG
fun. PG-13
tour bus.
Yeah, PG-13, yeah. And this guy who we met in the... Anyway, that was 1985. Me and mum went to see them a few years ago in Liverpool. Fucking great. Now, I sound like those weird people who follow bands around now. We're not one of those. But
you're literally in the T-shirt.
I know, it's very comfy. Anyway, we went to see them the other night in Bristol again, and because they play at like academy venues, so it's like really reasonably priced, really fucking nice size venue, just great, like can't go wrong. Anyway, they were in the pub afterwards, so I was like, I have to say, mum. I was like, my mum's not going to come up and say this, but I absolutely am. In 1985 in Bristol, really close to here, my mum said the story, and he was like, oh my god. So they were so nice, had a chat, like,
oh nice,
yeah, it was really really lovely stuff. And then this guy who we'd met in the gig, he was like oh, it's fucking amazing that he went, do you know what, he went, my mum when she was younger necked off with Robert Plant, and it's just made me feel like I can do anything. And everyone was talking about getting off with celebs, yeah. And like, yeah,
not,
I loved that.
Not the same. But my friend's sister, so Callum Best was doing a personal appearance in Solihull at a nightclub, and he picked out my friend's sister to like, oh, I think he was picking, and she was like, no. No, I'm out with my friends. No, thank you.
Brilliant.
Oh my God, my friend had that when I can't remember if she was here or... I won't say where she worked, but my friend, like someone walked over to my friend and her friend quite a few years ago, and was like, oh, Leonardo DiCaprio wants you, you know this story. Like, oh, he said, would you like to come
that
over
was
Elisa's for a drink?
Friend.
No, this is Steph. This happened to Steph. And they were like, no, thanks.
Let it die.
I mean, I love, you're not saying where it was, but you're giving their names. We won't say where
I
it was,
know,
but my good friend, Steph.
We could say what her address is now.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't compromise where she lives at the time.
Her and her friend were like, no, you're all right, actually. Like, that's really weird. If someone wants to have a drink, I mean, we'd have been there.
Full
like
disclosure,
that.
I'd have been there. Yeah. I mean, like, well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We'd have been done.
I'm free if he's looking for...
Yeah, yeah. Hi, did you want it? No, fine.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
Yeah, sorry, no, I wasn't after you. It was after the women behind you. Oh, yeah, fine.
Shit. Fuck, I've just realised I'm shocking for this.
What have you done?
We haven't even introduced him.
Well, no, because you went straight in. We can do that later. Should we do that mid-podcast?
Let's do a mid-podcast.
I mean, is that weird?
Yeah, no, fuck it.
Do it.
Then we can say to people, guess at what minute our intro happens in this podcast.
Right, okay.
And then if people don't go for it, we'll stop doing it, but we'll try.
Okay, let's do it.
So well, you so... have been listening to, you've been listening to Josh Pugh, one of my personal favourite people on the internet. He's a comedian, he's a writer, he's an actor lately.
Actor.
Been doing a bit of acting, which we'll talk about. But yeah, you've been listening to Josh Pugh and you're going to continue listening to him. Josh, tell me about your sketches.
That sounded threatening at the
that
end.
That did sound yeah, threatening.
Very threatening. Yeah. I cannot express to you the amount of times I've been somewhere and I'm holding my phone up just forcing people to watch your sketches and just forcing them to follow. Like, we've had them on the laptop in the house. Yeah. Like, your sketches have formed sort of part of my lexicon now. Like, there's certain things we can't say, where are you going, without, in my house, right? Yeah. None of us can say, where are you going, without going, where are you going? No, you're not. Give me your phone. Everyone, give me your phone. There are so many bits in your sketches that have just, they are part of our... discourse now.
Oh, that's really...
I love you for
that's
that.
Really nice. When people kind of come up to me, I mean, it doesn't happen loads, but when people come up to me, it's always, my boyfriend makes me watch your videos, or my wife makes me... It's, you know, it's never... I've been watching your videos and really enjoying them.
People do have to be coerced. No, but yeah, I've, introduced you to... It's funny because, you know, we were talking about things being commissioned lately, and I was like, fuck the... If I want it, things that I recommend the most are just those short videos. It's like you, Alistair Green, Adrian Bliss.
This is what Twitter, social media.
Rosie Holt.
Yeah.
Has been like massive for you, right? Because it is, that's like the quickest way to get stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's an absolute hell space, isn't it? Twitter is a thing. But I kind of, you can't be too damning of it because it can be, it's such a useful tool. But I'm the same as you. What I like is person with a camera filming themselves. There's other people that have done really well with kind of, they've got green screen and they've animated stuff.
Adrian Bliss does that really well, doesn't he?
It's just so far beyond my abilities. there's like two camps, isn't there? There's the kind of people that have... Yeah, it's interesting. It's a bit, yeah. But even... doing it, I've probably done it three, and I try and do one a week. I don't put massive pressure on it.
I was going to ask you that, and do you sort of wait for the inspo to come? I do, you know, because obviously I write comedy and perform, and I'm just starting work on a new sketch show now at the moment, and I'm like, fuck, sometimes I just worry the ideas won't come, and they always do eventually, but like, how do you work it? Have you got loads backed up?
Well, that's the total, that's the anxiety, isn't it? That's the anxiety of it. You're never going to have an idea again in your life.
I'm never going to be funny again every day.
So I just literally just have a notes in my phone. I have notes for stand-up, notes for whatever, and I just put stuff in there. And if I've got 5 minutes, I just scroll through and I might add to an idea or... But a lot of the times, the videos that I've done the best is they've come to me quite impulsively. I've within an hour of thinking of them, I've recorded them and got them out, and they've done quite... There's something like instant about them. I don't know what it is.
There's something about that not overthinking.
Totally, yeah. Lucy. Yeah, yeah. And then, yeah. But I've not learned loads. The only thing I've really learned is to put them out at like 9 o'clock on a weekday. That's all the science, that's all the data I've got on it.
In the morning?
In the morning, yeah, yeah.
Oh, because everyone's on their commute.
People are commuting. Yeah, yeah, people haven't... I think there's probably also something in they haven't consumed anything else that day yet. Maybe there's something in that.
Yeah, so they might think, oh, I've already done a few retweets today. I don't want people to think I'm on it all the time. But first thing, you're like, right, I'm getting the early bird catches the worm.
Yeah, totally, totally. and then... You just have to kind of leave your phone because you just be refreshing. It's awful, really.
Hectic.
I was saying that to Beth, the stress of like, obviously the content that you're putting out is one thing. But I always say to Beth, like, as a comedian, that thing of Twitter, of it kind of being hell and kind of heaven for a comedian. But that thing of having to, do you get quite stressed about, like, if something's going on and you're like, I need to tweet something, I need to be, or does it just come very naturally? Because I feel like I would constantly be like, I'd constantly be like, I need to be being funny on
what's
Twitter.
My hot
like,
take
what,
on
yeah.
this.
Yeah, it can be. I think there's some people that are dead good at Twitter, but it's not, it's so instant and it's
but
so...
But you're great at Twitter. You're so good at Twitter.
But you know, it's so kind of disposable. If you miss something, it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah, because something else is coming up.
Yeah, and sometimes you're better off to wait. So I always think that my stuff is better because, say there's five options of what the joke might be, if you wait until the first four have been done, you've almost got to come up with something different, or you've got to have your own.
That's a fucking great shout.
Yeah, and that's... But there's no science. You can't... But it's very easy, Lucy, isn't it, to fall into that
stress. Yeah, just that thing of, like, I don't tweet that much, really. And obviously, I'm not a comedian. I'm not... No one's expecting me. But I just think if I was, I'd want to be going, oh, I want to do a really good one about this. Well, I want to get it out before someone else does.
That's just a creative industry, isn't it? You know, if you kind of... if you've been an actor and... Probably the second you rap on a film, you're thinking, "Oh God, I've got to get something else." So I'm gonna, you know, people are gonna forget about me. And realistically, I was thinking this the other day. Who was I thinking about? Just Joel Dommett, just as a example. And I was thinking, he's in my brain somewhere, like as a celebrity and a comedian. And I'm not thinking about him all the time, but I also haven't forgotten who he is.
Mm.
It's quite a strange space.
Me and Beth were talking about this, about how social media, these people, like not even people that you dislike, people that you might be
there are some of them as well,
but people that you might just kind of be, and I'm like, why do I, that thing of like, why do I know what Jennifer Aniston had for breakfast? Like, why is that bit of information in? Yeah. And that thing of social media, of your head kind of being, yeah, constantly kind of, those people are in
I
your head.
I don't want to think about, yeah, I've muted so many people, and it's nothing personal. In some cases it is, but in other cases it's not. But I just think, I don't, like, there was one person who posts pretty much in the industry, and they post like every day, and I'm like, I've got nothing against that person, but I'm like, I can't see your face every day. I can't think about you and see your face every day.
Yeah,
like, this,
they're
is
in your
mad.
Lives and in your home and in your,
yeah,
you know.
And it's like, yeah, I think it's really... And stories are a little bit different because you can choose to not watch stories, but sort of when it's on your feed, it's a bit like, oh, come on, like, I don't want to keep seeing your close-up of your face. It's quite invasive because we have to accept that we are going to use it. It is part of our lives. And
I actually find... I don't know how you guys feel. I actually find Instagram more confusing of how to use it because, you know, for example, I just had a baby 10 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. But you do... Is he, can I put a picture of him on? Is that too much? Is that...
I'm having this with my... I've got new nephews.
Yeah.
My brother's... he's had twins. And I am absolutely... I'm obsessed with them, Josh, right?
Yeah.
I'm absolutely, as I'm sure you are with your son, right? Like, I'm obsessed with them. I think they're the best thing in the whole fucking world. But I'm like... I don't want to... I put the odd thing of them on Instagram. And it's nice because some of my friends are like, oh, your brother's baby, they know him and stuff. But I'm a bit like... That's their faces and their lives. And is that my right to just be like, how much of their lives is it? Am I going to document? And also, it's so personal. I love them so much. There's lots of people who follow me who I'm like, I don't necessarily want loads of people that I don't know to have access to pictures of my brother's babies. Like, and I'm really sort of careful with it. And I'm trying to understand this myself. It's sort of...
Because at the same time, it's a nice... You know, as anybody would use an Instagram account, it's nice to have a... bit of a catalogue and a memory of things in your life, you know, same as anyone else would. And I haven't got a big following on Instagram, so it's not a massive thing.
Nor me.
But I think, you know, if you're... Before you know, it's a strange one. It is a strange one, especially when you have kids or your life, or it's strange, isn't it? Because it is quite a... That feels more of a personal one, Instagram, because it's visual, because it's pictures. I don't know if it's...
Yeah.
It's
and
that
how much
thing
do people
I
want to see it as well, you know? Like, I have a thing where I'm like, I'm obsessed with these babies, but I know that if I see other people's babies that aren't maybe my close friends or even my close friends, I'm a bit like, oh, okay, I sort of scroll through. I'm not bothered by other people's babies, really.
Yeah.
But those ones I am, so I have to realise that as much as it, you know, as much as I love them, nobody else is going to really, apart from my close friends, is going to be that bothered. So then you go, is it worth me sharing that stuff? What do you share?
But it also is nice for your friends
to see that. I think you just have to, like...
Oh, Josh, I can't hear you.
Oh.
How's this now?
You've gone...
Can you hear me?
Do you think this is our headphones?
Right then. How's that?
Having technical. No.
Talk now.
How's this?
Ooh.
It's not our headphones.
Default internal speakers built in. This is fun.
How's that?
Hey! Yay! Yay!
back.
So my headphones are plugged in now.
Okay. Keep them unplugged in.
No,
maybe.
No, because then
you'll
hear us.
Oh, yeah. So is that us or you?
I believe it's me, but I don't know what's happened. I haven't. How's this? Have I gone again?
Go on.
Can't hear anything.
Is
that our end?
Very strange. Nothing's. This? I mean, I'm literally just plugging and unplugging the headphones. I'm not trying. No, this is better.
Do you think
any suggestions what I could do?
Shall we both stop recording?
And then we'll stop recording. Yeah.
I'll pause, yeah?
We're back in after back technical in difficulties.
Yeah.
Our technical difficulties.
We would like to have had an ad in there, wouldn't we?
We were just saying it would have been so fucking class while you were off downloading different iOSs onto your wife's phone and such and trying to, like, reintroduce an iPad 1 back into the world, raise it from the dead. We were like, oh, why haven't we got any sponsors? And then Lucy was like, who would we be sponsored by? And I was like, it's really unlucky that we're quite often hungover when we're recording the podcast. And I was like, we could be sponsored by Milk Thistle.
What?
You know that?
The thing.
The supplement.
Yeah.
It's
good for your liver.
Oh, is it?
And I was like, yeah. So Milk Thistle's good for overindulgence in general. You know, so, like, it's helps
real, like,
your liver repair.
Henry VIII vibe.
You know, it's great for your liver as well, just not hammering loads of beers.
Well, yeah, famously, but that's not always an
option. One of us is hungover, one of us isn't. One of us always tells the truth, and one of us always lies.
We can't do labyrinth with this because we look fucking weird enough.
I had
joint headphones.
I had three lots of beers last week, which is indulgent for me. And
wait, so is that three beers in one night or 3 days of getting on the beers?
So I had Wednesday.
Yeah.
Funeral Friday.
Oh.
Saturday night, which is a lot for me.
So you had, that's a lot.
And I felt really depressed. I was like, oh, I'm so depressed today. And my wife's like, oh, yeah, it's because you drank loads of beer this week. I'm like, yeah, that'll be it.
It is. It's such a depressant.
Yeah, it really I think, is it tequila the only one that kind of is an up?
Tequila's an upper.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and my brother love a bit of tequila.
I do. I used to love gin, but the older I've got, I was always like, oh, I'm fine on a hangover. I'm just tired. Mm. The older I've got, I'm like, oh, no, gin and wine make me quite depressed, actually.
Yeah, totally. And then the other thing, it's the Sunday, and Sundays can be great, but they can be the day before.
Suicide Sundays.
Yeah,
That's how this podcast came about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why, because we were like, we were both single and a bit, and it is that thing that there's so much on a Sunday.
Yeah.
There's so much pressure on a Sunday to be like a really good day, to be a really fun day. And I think when we were both like first single, before we kind of found our feet, you do have that thing where you're like, oh, I'm a bit depressed on Sundays.
Some days were just a bit fucking weird.
Yeah, that's how I find them.
People do real family stuff. It's that real, like, back-to-school energy. Like, it's that sort of... And you do notice, because I was in a relationship... We were both in relationships for a really long time. And so you are like, oh, fuck, people literally just do stuff with their... Walk around farmers markets with their partners. Mm. And so you just go, you know...
You
I'm going to do shit with my mates.
If I play football on a Sunday with my mates, you kind of see it. So we'll play football, then we'll go back to, like, the club. And then you can see... There's people rushing back to do stuff with their families. There's people that have got families that are not rushing back. And there's others that are trying to carry the weekend on for as long as possible.
Yeah.
And it's quite... You check your WhatsApp group at like 6 p.m. and there's like one or two people still out. And it's just... They've stopped enjoying... It's quite sad, really.
Yeah, we're never sad on a Sunday now. We have a fucking great time.
Oh, that's good.
I think it is about like reframing it and going, right, will we do... fun stuff, do a pub quiz, you know, like pub quiz, which is so fun, and do mate stuff like Brick Lane Market's great on a Sunday, and I just thought, yeah, like that, you know, there was an element of that, and then it's like, oh no, let's just make Sundays class.
Mates and
doesn't need to be, and actually I've been back in Wales for the last few months, and we have been doing like big family like Sunday roasts and stuff, and I've missed that, because like I haven't lived back in Wales for like 13 years, and they are nice, those like get-togethers with everyone. I've missed that, you know, because I was living in London for years, not around any family at all. None of my family live in London, so your friends are your family, you know.
Yeah,
obviously, Lucy and I lived together for years, and had a fucking great time. But yeah, the booze thing, like it does take a toll. And I'm not one of these. I don't drink in the house. I don't drink on my own. I don't drink if I'm sad. My drinking is purely like fun and social. So I think the way I counteract the sort of anxiety, depressing side of it is just like I'm having fun. It's nice to stay with mates, do a fun thing the next day. I distract myself. I won't wallow in it.
Yeah,
I'll be
totally.
Like, no, come on, let's do shit. Like, I'm not going to lie around and think, oh God, what, you know, why don't I own a house?
But I am going to take her to the Priory after this recording.
An intervention has been said.
So my, obviously, because I usually gig on Saturday nights. So I've started having like a midweek go out with my two mates. One doesn't work on a Thursday and then one just doesn't give a shit. So we'll have a bit of a Wednesday. And it's...
I love a midweek. I love a bit of midweek boozing. It's so much more fun.
Yeah, it is. There's less knobheads around. You're more inclined to actually have a chat rather than...
Yeah.
You know, it's nice. It's quite nice.
I love a Thursday night. I like a Thursday night of being out and...
Yes, class, because then you're sort of all recovered for the weekend then. Where we went to see Echo and the Bunnymen, actually, sponsored by Echo and the Bunnymen. when we went to see them the other night, we went to the Rock. What used to be called the Rock, it's called the Academy in Bristol now. And we used to go, so I went to uni in Bristol and our student night was a Thursday night and it was a triple vodka and Red Bull for £1.50.
Wow.
And we'd all just be shaking the next day in uni. Like, that should... How is that legal?
Oh,
like,
it's mental.
Vodka Red Bull.
Oh, my God.
If you're listening to this Red and you're Bull's of a generation enough. That was in the vodka Red Bull thing, like, I just feel like I want to sue society for, like, the whole Alka-Pops thing, the whole, like, vodka Red Bull. It was, like, worse. I would have been better off doing coke. Like, genuinely, like, would have been better off doing a couple of lines. Because that feeling of that caffeine, that sugar, and the alcohol, like, we used to never be able to remember getting home. Like, how can you go, oh, I'm safe and comfortable with serving really young people triple vodka and Red Bulls for £1.50?
Yeah.
Like, you've got to get fucked on a fiver.
We used to have £1 Wednesdays at Liquid and Envy.
Oh, my God.
I know, it's just... And it's the sugar.
My dad thought, so when I used to model and I used to do PAs, those were the days, those were the terrible days. And my dad, I used to pay my dad to like drive me to my PAs because they were like, oh, we've got like budget for travel. And I was like, I'd rather sort of like wang my dad a bit of cash to take me to these PAs. And he one night, I think he had 12 Red Bulls. I got in the car and I was like, are you all right? And he was like, yeah, I'm absolutely fine. I've had about 12 Red Bulls. He said, they're all natural. They're really good for you. And I was like, oh, what you've done there, you've read something about how bad they are and your brain's take. I said, no, they're really bad. It's really bad for you. Like, people have been having heart. He was like, what?
I know what I'll do. Somebody's had loads of caffeine. I'm going to make them more anxious.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to layer this. I'm going to tell him how bad. I'm going to keep telling him. I mean, magic mushrooms are natural, but you can't just fucking bags of those.
Halloween's in poppers.
They were like,
yeah, poppers.
You probably would have been better off doing a bit of, like, I was like, that's really not good for you.
No,
it's fucking hectic.
That again. So tell us about Envy. What was it, Envy and Liquid?
Liquid and Envy. Liquid was upstairs.
Liquid and Envy.
Fantastic air conditioned space, genuinely. As a, you know, kind of, you know, there's like these nightclubs that are just constantly misty.
Yeah,
it was one of them. Liquid was upstairs, and then I think Envy downstairs was over 23s, and I couldn't get in downstairs.
Over 23.
Yeah, because that's when it all changes. Do you know what I mean? When you're 23, you're real. You want to socialise differently.
Yeah.
We had one. There was one like that in Southampton. I think it was Icon and Diva.
I remember them.
Yeah.
And then there's like,
I don't think I ever got into one.
I never.
In Cardiff, we had Liquid.
I could not get in. I've never got into an Oceana's in my life. There's always.
Oh, we had an Oceana.
You just can't get in. Like,
they let girls in.
Let me in. I want to come in. What's wrong?
We filmed a Gavin and the episode of Gavin and Stacey I did. We filmed in Oceana in Cardiff.
Yeah,
amazing.
And I did think, and it was so weird being in there sober because it was a late place. And me and the girls did used to go. They used to do like midweek nights where we'd just go and drink Reef or whatever.
Yeah.
Remember Reef?
Reef.
Yeah.
Fuck. We used to put WKD and Reef in a pint glass together. And it was called a Kermit.
Yes.
It was green.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck, did you do that as well?
And there's another thing called like a refresher, which is like another Alka-Pop in as well.
Fuck.
It's like a hooch. Do you remember hooch?
Yeah. Diabetes, that's called. Yeah, hooch. Fuck.
And there was always, in liquid as well, there was a punching machine.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Punching machines in nightclubs. Oh.
You wonder who do you want to get off with tonight? None of them.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's good. They're getting their aggression out early. Maybe I do want one who's been on the punching machine.
Wonder what things are kicking off. And there was a nightclub in the town. I'm from a dead small town, and there was a nightclub called The Works. And it was like...
We had one in Bristol, The Works.
Yeah, and it was downstairs was like a bedroom bar, like literally like beds, like white bubble beds.
Oh, my God.
And there was pictures of like Stevie Wonder... Like, is it what? Why? Do you know what I mean? As if they have been down there.
Oh my God!
The Works.
Yeah. Yes.
I met Timmy Mallett. That's where I met Timmy Mallett. Was in The Works.
Oh, and he was
Bristol.
Horrible, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I think I've told that story before. He told me to fuck off. Yeah.
He's. I think he's one of them people who are secretly angry. Like you ever like Shaking Stevens.
Yes. There's nothing secret about it. Yeah. Shaking Stevens. Yeah.
I love that.
Because I'm related to him.
Really. Did you well?
I was upset because like when I was young, I'm like, right, I'm gonna be famous. And then when I found out, I was at this family thing, and then they're like, oh yeah, well you know, because she's Sheila Barrett's blah blah blah. And I went, so he's like my cousin essentially. And I was like, sorry, how is nobody? I thought we had no industry connections. Yeah. What's happening here? I want to be an actor. You're keeping Shaking Stevens from me. Like I'm related, and everyone's like, yeah, I don't think it's gonna be like that.
Because yeah.
didn't he fucking buzzing?
Didn't he batter his bass player?
Did he?
Oh, yeah. Everyone was like, Beth, please don't go around talking about it. And I was like, well, I'm going to.
I can't imagine. How's that happened just in the studio? Do you know, it's not like.
I didn't realise he was
get
famously
a punching
angry.
Machine in the studio.
They're not creating Bohemian Rhapsody. Do you know what I mean? Why are we losing our temper?
It's not funny at all, but those people that are really unexpectedly not very nice.
Yeah.
Like me explaining to like
if you have a name like Shaken Stevens, you want him to be sort of fun. Don't you?
Yeah,
you could be like an entertainer at your kid's party. Like, you don't expect him to
like
be done for GBH.
Michael Bublé grabbing his wife on that video call, and everyone's like, "What?
Yeah.
Unexpectedly aggressive."
There's certain people who break your heart, wouldn't it, if they would turn out to be wrong uns. Like, imagine Ben Shepherd. Do you know what I mean?
Oh my God.
Ben Shepherd was fly tipping.
Who else?
Come out, Ben Shepherd and fly tipping.
Come on, let's have a list of who would be really, really. Because a lot of those people are. A lot of those, like.
David Attenborough. Imagine David Attenborough was a cunt.
Oh, yeah.
Judi Dench. Yeah. Imagine if Judi Dench wasn't very nice. I mean, she is lovely.
Ben Shepherd's a funny one. On tipping point, he's sweet, isn't he?
Yeah, he's
I don't watch it every day, but I have seen it.
Yeah. he's a lovely guy. Or what about that Fred guy? Is it Fred Xerox?
Who's that?
Yeah, from The First Dates. He's like a
yes.
house.
Oh, Fred.
Yeah.
Love him.
Yeah.
No, we met him.
Lucy tries to make me go on First Dates.
I'm obsessed with the idea of Beth going on First Dates. I think it would be a scream.
It's great. It's a great show, First Date. I love it.
Oh, we absolutely adore it.
Yeah, I would love to do it, but it not be filmed, which I think obviously defeats the point.
You just want to go on a date, Beth, that's all you're describing.
Yeah.
You want to go for dinner with someone.
Yeah, that is just a thing. But you know what I mean? Yeah. The idea, okay, so I like the idea of sitting down and going, these are the things I like, and then trying to find somebody who matches up to what I say I like. You meet someone for the first... Because I've never internet dated, so once I went on a date that someone set me up with someone. He was like, oh, I think you and my friend are going. And so I saw him for the first time. But other than that, I've always just met people organically.
Yeah.
So I like the idea for a laugh of somebody going, this is what she likes. Go for dinner with them. Have that experience of that. But I proper don't want that documented on telly.
Yeah.
I really do. I really want to see you do that on telly.
I always feel so, you know, when there's like an older couple on there, you think, how long before both their partners are dead?
Yeah.
Jimmy, it's quite sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like when they're a bit feisty.
Yeah. I think the older couples are they seem to have more success, don't they?
Yeah. Well, because you're less fussy, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm more fussy.
Because I think
girl,
they genuinely
way more
want
fucking fussy.
They genuinely want companionship, don't they? Those guys, it seems like. And but it's kind of you can spot the tropes, can't you? You get like a massive guy with tattoos, and it's going to be like, oh, it's going to be a soft backstory to him, or you know, it's not as it seemed.
Yeah.
It's nice, though.
Some of them are heartbreaking. Some of them really take you a bit by surprise. Mm. You know, we've done it because we used to love watching it. And someone would come on and we'd be like, oh, he seems like an absolute prick. Yeah. And then he'd have a really sad backstory and you were like, oh.
Yeah. And I love it. They make them front up at the end. They make them give an answer to the person.
Isn't it just awful? I know, like, no one likes it, but that thing when one of them really likes them.
Yeah.
And they've literally sat on telly and gone, oh, I think it went really well, yeah. And I really want to see them again. And then they're like, no, and they just go, I didn't feel any chemistry.
Yeah, I meant it as a friend, not see each other again as a friend. Yeah. So, yeah, no, we're on the same page. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, there's nothing worse. That I would like your opinion on this. We always have this thing where, because there's the paying bill at the end, right? There's different energies. Let's categorise them into three. So there's like a, I'm getting this, please let me get this bill.
Yeah.
And then there is someone who goes, oh, I'll get it if you want. Yeah, no, don't worry about it. Yeah, we could. Yeah, so they reluctantly pay for it. It's a bit fucking tight.
Yeah.
And then you get the, well, we'll go off. You want a quality, don't you? I hate them.
Yeah.
So there are three different energies that men bring. And I'd love to know your thoughts. I feel like I've got this real thing where I feel quite annoyed about sort of let's say patriarchy as a blanket thing, but women, there's this beauty expectation on women, right? We have to spend a lot more money on everything from like tampons to bras are expensive. We have to, you know, there's an expectation that you remove hair, and yes, you can reject all of these things, but let's be realistic about all of the things we're conditioned to want to do, right? And makeup's expensive. Stuff to take your makeup off with is expensive. My hair's expensive. You know, we spend so much money. I read a book called The Beauty Myth, which was fucking fascinating and harrowing. And just how much, and we're aggressively sold to more and more constantly. So we overall earn less. We spend more. We have to get cabs because it's not safe for us to walk home. And a man has the fucking audacity to turn around and go, well, fucking equal rights, let's split the bill. Fuck you. Somebody saying to me, I cannot express to you how infuriating. It's a fucking disgrace. Not only that, like, I feel like a really lovely thing to do, like, happiness is the opposite of selfishness. Scientifically, you will be happier if you pay a bill. If you meet a mate every Thursday for lunch, the thing that will make you enjoy it more is if you take it in turns to pay. Splitting the bill makes us not happy. Buying something for someone makes us happy. So it's like you're just a cunt in every way.
Oh, people that are tight.
I mean, if there's a definition of a leading question.
I cut the fucking cord on the call, Josh.
I think naturally you'll be on the same page if it's somebody you're going to get on with, and you'll be like, ah, oh, I'll get it, and then they'll kind of go off that, won't they? They'll be like, oh, no, it's okay, and then you do it that way. But yeah, and I think over the course of a friendship or anything, it works out, doesn't it? Don't worry about it.
Because it just feels like if someone's begrudging, like, getting you a drink or, oh, I'll get that, it's just, there's so much, it might seem like not a big deal, but to actively not want to do it just says so much about people.
Yeah, it just says so much about people's personalities.
Yeah.
And yeah, you wouldn't want to be with someone tight. I just hate the women being pounded with that. It's just interesting from a man's point of view, because I think what I hear them say is, oh, well, she'll be offended if I get the bill, or she'll be offended if I hold the door open. It's like, no, just have manners and don't be tight, and respect and understand that society, life costs us more and we earn less overall. So, like,
yeah, I don't think that's a consideration that men would give, is that life costs you more.
No.
You know, that side of it, as you've just explained, I don't think that's a consideration that would generally be in the consciousness.
No, this is like the dating thing of, like, someone kind of last minute going... Like, I recently joined a dating app. It's not going swimmingly. But this thing of, like, people people. Men that go, oh, can you do like with a couple of hours notice, oh, do you want to go for a drink tonight? It's like, no, do you not know how long it takes us to get ready to go on a date? Like, have you got any idea?
I think it is things like, yeah, like cancelling on people is shit for that reason, because you do time things.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think men really engage with and understand the amount that... And I'm low maintenance. Like, I don't get my fucking nails done. Like, I'm actually very low maintenance. But, like, it's still a faff. I still spend too much time and energy on stupid little things about my appearance, you know?
I've never dated, really. I've probably been on 3 first dates in my life.
And how did they go?
One, it's probably the worst thing that can happen on a first date is when they invite their friends halfway through and the date is just stopped that way.
Where were you?
Just out for a drink. And it's like, okay. And then the second one was all right. And then obviously the third one was my now wife. So yeah.
Because you've got, I'm fucking done now. I'm having this one. I don't give a fuck what she's like. I'm sick of this.
I don't care if her mates come out. I'm not leaving.
This is happening. Yeah.
I'm not leaving until I get denied entry to Oceania and they can all go in at 11 p.m.
Can you get into the over 23s? Yeah, me too.
what was your first date with your wife?
Oh, we just went for a drink and a catch up, really. It's just, I think she was, there's something in this as well, definitely. She was going away the next day. And then the next time I saw her, I was going away. And there's something in that. It's like, I don't know if it's like an old thing, like going off to war kind of thing. There's something in, or we can't just see each other again straight away.
Yeah.
I think there's absence something.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah, there's something in that, especially if it's really good, because you've kind of got that uncertain, because it's stressful, but it's amazing, is that uncertainty, isn't it?
Yeah, they could like be me? Getting off with someone else in Butlins, kind of thing.
that and also
and you're like, I want them to be here getting off with me, and they can't be. Yeah. And now I'm, yeah.
Yeah, but I think as a man in my 30s, I think I'd just say straight away if I like someone. I don't think I'd even engage with that, do they, don't they? I'd just be like, I'm into it, or... Do you know what I mean?
Same.
Yeah, and it's so weird, like, having recently, like, delved into apps, well, an app that isn't great, and it's just such a weird, it's so artificial. And I think the key that I've learned from, like, other friends, the internet date or whatever, is, like, you just have to meet someone quite quickly, because otherwise you literally waste weeks of your life chatting to someone.
Yeah.
That you have no idea if you even like them, let alone fancy them. Because you can't, like, you're not going to engage and be yourself even over message that much with someone that you've never met. So, like, I always remember, do you remember when I said to you about, like, a couple of male friends or acquaintances over the years that, like, make a joke about, oh, you're really dry on message. And it's like, mate, it's because I'm not trying to sleep with you. Why would I be trying to be flirty? When they're it's no wonder, like, and you go, no, mate, I've not turned it on for you. So,
yeah.
Wind your neck
I turned
in.
It on for Nuts magazine for money. Google shit if you want. You know how to Google, love. Fucking wasting my typing time.
Yeah, but it is. It's such a weird, and I think we feel quite strongly that I do think it does work quite well for men and not so well for women, dating apps. But
and also, you know, even kind of a shallow kind of physicality point of view, pictures, they're 2D. You're not getting someone's, you know, when someone energy. Lights up or the smile, the look, that's, you just don't
and
get
chemistry,
that.
Like, chemistry is so, like, physical. And there's so much to that thing. Like, you can look at someone on an app and go, oh, they're nice looking, but I have no idea if I fancy them.
Yeah.
Because I haven't been in their vicinity. And so much of it is, like, that thing that we just don't know, that we don't
get.
Yeah,
it's like immeasurable, isn't it? It's like a...
Yeah.
I'm not one for energy, but it is an energy, isn't it?
It is. And it's literally science. It's like all of our microbiome.
There's nothing like that fucking chemistry. When you meet someone and go, oh, yeah, this is absolutely on. Oh, yeah, we fancy each other. I mean, it's so fucking cool. And it is not, you know, it's not common enough, but it's really fun.
So fun. So fun.
Talking of fun, I'm going to do a slight like change of subject, if that's all right.
Gear,
I'm
aware gear change.
That a gear change, just because I really want to talk about this, because I feel really strongly, Josh, that you are one of my favourite comedians at the moment. I think you're absolutely superb, and it makes me so excited that you are writing a sitcom at the moment. So we're going to get more of you, more Pew.
More Pew. Yeah.
Yeah, so do you mind, just because I'm aware of time and I don't want to miss that. I'm just like, oh, what did you talk to Josh Pugh about Oceania? Great. That was fun. I won't edit it out. I loved it. But I'd love, is that all right? If you just tell us a bit about, I just want to.
Are you allowed to tell us?
Oh, well, I imagine so. Well, I'm not, what's
you
the
question?
You
don't have to say, what I'd love
can you read the whole script out, please?
I'd just love to let you chat for a little bit, if that's okay, about the world and how you've been, I know we've talked about this before, because I'm back in Wales now, how you derive inspiration from where you're from and your world, and how you now have this opportunity to, all of the comedy you've like observed and absorbed your whole life, you're now getting to turn it into a sitcom, and I couldn't be more fucking excited about it. So
yeah man, I think the biggest thing I've been learning recently, and this is such a basic kind of epiphany, is you're not doing anything for the industry, you're doing it for the millions of people that live in the country where you're going to be performing and your stuff's going to be aired. And that they're the people you have to think about.
What's happened now?
I'm sorry, Josh.
You look like an NFT.
Oh, nice. Did you get any of what I was saying?
Sorry, a bit of it. Carry on.
Yeah, so basically, and this has been a big epiphany in stand-up as well, it's you're performing for, it's for the audience. And it's for people, it's people like you, and it's about reflecting your world and back at people. Do you know what I mean? It's like if you think of Gavin and Stacey, most of Britain live like the characters in Gavin and Stacey. And like the royal family, and it's like, and so the, you just don't see people like that on TV anymore unless it's like Gogglebox. And I think that's what most of the UK is. It's people like on Gogglebox who are, their lives are dead small. And it's about the relationship, and that's just what the sitcom hopefully will be. I'm not sure how clear that is on it, but it's just, isn't it? It's just the people you don't see on TV. That's all it is. That's all it's trying to do.
They're lovely little, just little stories of the day, aren't they? Just things that are so big to the characters. I mean, this country's a great example, isn't it? It's like literally a whole fucking episode about waiting at a train station. Yeah.
And it's those, and we hadn't seen those people on TV before.
Yeah.
Jimmy, that's the first time we've seen kind of rural.
And so recognisable, those characters. Like, we all know people like that, all grew up with people like that.
Yeah, totally. And there's, there's so many examples of that. But we haven't seen them on TV before. So, as you say, so recognisable. The moment they speak, or the things, when they're showing us their bedrooms and stuff, it's like, oh, yeah, this is totally it.
When's it going to be out, Josh? I'm so excited for this.
We're at the point where it's selling it to the channels, so it's all in the balance. And, I think you were talking about commissioners earlier, so we've been having lots of conversation about how to, you're selling this kind of world, which probably these commissioners have never lived in.
Yeah.
So you've got to get that across, whether it's on a sheet of A4 or in a meeting. You've got to be dead clear on what it is, and then but we've got like an exec on board who's dead good at getting stuff over the line, which is he's done like Benidorm, and he did like 2 pints of lager. He's got a real track record of getting stuff over the line.
That's fucking great.
It makes a big difference, I think, having somebody
like
that.
It's everything. Yeah. And I feel quite passionately about I'm writing treatments at the moment, and I'm like, I'm good at selling an idea. Like, get me in a room. Get me in a fucking room with somebody. That's all I want. Because I'm like, I know how to give this energy, and there are a few people I would trust with doing that for me. Because at least I know as well, like, if somebody who has a track record of getting stuff over the line is obviously perfect.
So, you just can't be, from my opinion, you just can't be having a script. you know, everyone's at different stages. You know, some people can't afford to spend all that time working for nothing, or they're at a position in their career where they shouldn't have to do a script. But for me, where I'm at, I've got to have something. I've got to have a 30-page script to show somebody.
I wrote loads of scripts before. Now I'm at the point where I'm like, I can't do this now. Yeah, like, I just can't write for free anymore because I just, that's why I'm doing treatments and stuff. But it's really interesting what you said about the commissioners, because I wrote a script a couple of years ago now because I just loved it, and you know, I wanted a new spec script because I'd written radio stuff and I wanted a TV spec script, and wrote about, it was at a time where, like, just think about renting, and I was thinking about how I'd spent more in rent than the woman whose flat I was renting bought it for.
Yeah.
You know, so I just thought, oh wow, okay, I spent 60 grand on rent and she bought this flat in the 90s for 53 grand, and it's a 2-bedroom flat in London and now worth £500,000, obviously. And you know, just the housing crisis and thinking about, you know, different things, and as a freelancer, how you rent and all of that. And anyway, wrote this thing. I'm in love with it. I'm absolutely in love with it. It was about two people who basically their landlord, who they've had quite comfortable cheap rent with, sells the flat, and they end up having to buy and live in a van. But the episode is about that journey, the first episode.
Yeah.
And I had like quite a lot of feedback that was very, oh yeah, it's just like not very realistic, and I'm like, not for you fuckers.
But there is
more people applying for licenses to live in vans than there ever has been in the UK. There's a massive van dwelling community in Bristol. Like, this is happening.
Yeah.
And also, if my parents didn't have somewhere I could live in between, like, yeah, this is a real possibility. My friend messaged me the other day. He went, Beth, I'm 39. I was in a TV series for 6 years. I'm blah blah blah, listed all this, not like in an arrogant way, but he went, I literally looked at a van the other day and went, oh, I could live there.
Yeah
I was like, what? And just being told that that isn't realistic made me furious.
And so much of it is timing as well, though. Do you know what I mean? I think this pandemic and stuff has made people realize you're only 3 months off work away from being in that position. And it's so often
those commissioners aren't
about so often about when you go into people with stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's such
It's like timing, a
perfect storm
names.
Of circumstance.
It does. So you have to sort of find a way to exist and enjoy yourself as a creative day to day, don't you?
Yeah, and everything informs your latest thing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might say, which is, everything you've done previously, whether consciously or not, is helping you with the latest thing. That's a bit of you know, you'd rather have something commissioned.
But it is
the case, isn't it? Or you learn something doing that you're taking to the next thing. It's bloody hard.
And the struggle informs the comedy. Things being a bit harder makes better comedy as well.
Yeah,
things are great.
Doing stand-up, I'm lucky that my writing's kind of bubbling away. I can go and get a hit of approval from a gig, where if you just write or you just direct, it's kind of, it must be even tougher, you know, the rejection. Your eggs are in one thing, aren't they?
Mm.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, waiting for the phone to ring or waiting for that thing. But, yeah, you can go and earn some money, do a gig, get some laughs, yeah.
So
you look very, you look distressed there, Beth. You look kind of quite in very reflective mood there.
I was just thinking about what you said. Yeah, no, it's really interesting. It's really interesting. Like, you know, who knows what is interesting to people that aren't in the industry. But it is that, like, you do get that sort of validation, that endorphin. You do comedy live and it feels, I'm doing the Glee Club for the first time next month.
Yeah.
And I'm shitting myself. I have not got on stage and done live comedy for 2 years now.
Yeah.
We do sketches and I love it so much. Just that instant thing, knowing if something works or not. Like, trying things different. Oh, there's no feeling like it.
You haven't got to wait for permission to try an idea. You can just get up. It's, as an art form, it's so immediate. It's, you know, very lucky to do it. Even musicians haven't got that leeway. Because, you know, people want to hear, play as a song we know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even like Echo the Bunnyman last night, if they say, oh, this is off my new album, you're thinking, oh, for fuck's sake.
No one's here for new things.
Was it Bon Jovi was doing new stuff at Live Aid? Was it him?
Was it?
Yeah. The audacity of people doing new stuff.
Yeah.
I went to Common People in Oxford.
People dying.
We went to Common People in Oxford, and the Jacksons minus Michael were there, and Tito Jackson came out with new material, and I was like, "Love, no one's here for Tito Jackson's new material."
Pulling up a stool, I just want to try something. No, for God's
sake. Fucking funny. So we always ask guests a couple of questions at the end. And because it's called Smashing Sundays, and we talked a little bit about Sundays in the podcast, we want to know, what's your perfect Sunday?
Yeah.
And what's your perfect Sunday track? So we have a Smashing Sundays playlist, and each guest gets to put a song on it. So you can say whichever one you want first.
Right. So for me, I'd love to wake up at 11 o'clock, but it not be 11 o'clock. I want the feeling of waking up at 11 o'clock, but it actually being like 8 o'clock.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? I want to feel
I love that.
Yeah. So I've got, I've had a lie in, but I've got the all day ahead of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take the dog, get a coffee. Not too hot, but warm. T-shirt, whatever. Take the dog, come back, coffee, bacon sandwich. Go to probably my wife's mum and dad's for dinner, big dinner.
Roast dinner?
Say again? Roast dinner, yeah.
Roast dinner.
Maybe a drink at the pub before that.
Nice.
Come back and carve the meat. Old school.
What's your favourite?
Is that a euphemism?
Yeah.
Don't want to know about your personal preferences. Just want to know about your favourite Sunday. What's your favourite roast?
Yeah, roast dinner. Roast dinner with a custard-based dessert. Not fucking about with cheesecakes and on a Sunday. We're talking
good old spotted crumbles. Dick.
Crumbles, pies, sticky toffee pudding.
Nice.
That's most kind of exotic I want to go. Back home, sit down, watch a film, doze, little treat.
What film?
Just like an easy...
Something you've seen before or something new?
Probably something I've seen before. Like a Titanic or something.
Gone out again.
Maybe something I've seen before. Maybe like a Titanic, Indiana Jones kind of...
Yes.
Feel.
Oh, Indiana Jones on a Sunday is such a vibe.
Yeah, awesome. And then just kind of maybe another treat plate, like just a plate of assorted treats.
Snacks.
And then I like my wife to go to bed, and I like to have another hour downstairs by myself. Chewing.
Send her to bed.
Yeah.
Get upstairs.
Sorry, Josh, you've made me a Horlicks. I didn't ask for one. Yeah, it's time. Do you mind? I just want to... A couple of laps of the gaff on my own.
Should we go up? Yeah, and then just stay downstairs for another hour. Yeah, and then my track would probably... So I used to go to my mum and dad divorced when I was young. And I used to go to my dad's every Sunday. And I remember being in the car. And you remember New Radicals? You've got the music
yes.
in you.
Yes, yes. Oh, Don't Let Go.
Yeah.
Big time.
I remember that being on in the car. And I mean, being quite happy, and it's quite... a nostalgic song.
It's very uplifting,
isn't it? It's
such
a banger as a one-hit wonder. You must.
Yeah.
I'm frustrated. Like, oh, you must have... Why can't you do this again?
Yeah.
I know. And then you sort of, as you learn how... We were talking about one-hit wonders recently, a group of us, and we were all, like, choosing our favourite ones and going through ones, and you're like, God, I didn't realise that was the only hit that they had kind of thing, you know? And... I was like, as the years go on, the industry goes on, I used to think, like, oh, God, isn't it tragic for Chesney Hawkes? And I'm like, is it fuck?
He's living in LA.
It's better than most musicians, most writers never get a commission, never have a hit, never have... Most of us don't have it. If you have one, you go, OK, I would have liked to have been the Beatles or the Arctic Monkeys. We all would, but nicer to have that than nothing.
How many times have you been in a pub and you're like, this guy's amazing? And he's like not even anywhere near being
signed.
Oh,
the amount of like support when you go and see someone in like the support group, you're like, these people are amazing. Mm.
Yeah.
And you never hear of them ever again. Like, it's so hard. Give me a Christmas number one, thanks.
Yeah. There's something, isn't there? You can't put your... I hate to say the X factor, but there is something about... You can't take your eyes off certain people. You can't put your finger on what it is. It's obviously something measurable. It's something they're doing performance-wise or like an energy they're giving off. It probably is, but there's... You can't take your eyes off them. You know, when on the X Factor, when someone has been a backing singer for years and then they go on X Factor, it's like, yeah, you're a backing singer. You're incredible, yeah, but you're a backing singer.
Yeah. There's a great documentary. I think it was on BBC. It was either on Channel 4 or BBC called, is it 6 Feet from Stardom?
Oh,
did you watch it? About backing singers.
Yeah.
And it's got, like, you know, women who have been backing singers for the Stones, for Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And it's just fascinating. And that thing of them saying, everyone was a bit like, oh, isn't it a shame? And they were like, no, I've had a lovely time.
Oh, yeah.
And they would say, I'm not a front woman, or I'm, you know...
And I think that does, yeah, everybody's different. Some people are just like, no, I want that. Like me, I work on other people's scripts, and someone said recently, like, oh, don't you hate working on other people's scripts? I'm like, no, I fucking love that.
Oh,
like,
that's amazing.
I get to use all my skills and do loads of the stuff I'm good at without having my name at the forefront of it. Like, I can just help make other people's stuff better. Like, it's nice to have a bit of both, but like,
I think, yeah, the dream job is like a co-pilot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? You're walking through the airport, you've got your hat on, it was like, ah, oh, then you go up there, and if it's on them, actually, I'll do my best.
Yeah. It's not, no pressure.
Yeah. And it's, but there's, you know, loads of people, there's always books about, you know, leadership, how to be a great leader, but actually being a good follower and a good number two is a real skill that not many people have got. You see it, don't you, sometimes? You know, if you go to a music gig, a concert, and there's, a sound guy comes on to check the guitars, and he starts like grooving a bit, doesn't he? Like, all right, mate, it's working. It's working. Get off now.
Yeah, you've done your job.
Yeah. Handing out CDs at the front. All right, mate, get off now.
Yeah, that's us. CDs at the front. Imagine we put this, because off of our lack of technology, imagine we were like, so we've got a podcast and we'll be handing out CDs in Camden.
Yeah.
We're just going to stand there talking and giving out CDs and pay what you want. Imagine putting a podcast on a CD.
That's hilarious.
Is there anything you want to plug? I know you're at the Glee Club in Cardiff the week before I am, aren't you? But
that's
so exciting. Which will just be packed anyway. But other than the fact that you are on Instagram and Twitter, and I retweet and share his content constantly, he's Josh Pugh, Josh Pugh Comic. Is there anything else you would like to plug?
Just, I'm doing Edinburgh this year. So if people are in Edinburgh.
That's exciting.
Sorry, say that.
If people are going there, come to the show. I'm doing an afternoon spot, which I never do usually, but I'm quite excited. It's like 2:10 in the afternoon.
That's quite a nice time. I don't like the before midday. I did a show once at 4, which was lovely.
Yeah.
And then I had like a... I've done a couple of different times.
Are there times that as a performer you're like, oh, I really don't want... Like, what are the golden spots?
I think it's absolutely... I just think anything sort of, from 2 o'clock onwards. I like that sort of between 2 o'clock and 7, 8 o'clock thing.
So if you got given like 11 a.m., you're like, oh, shit.
I would hate to do comedy at 11 a.m. I think I've had friends who've had a really hard time.
I think that's for kids stuff, isn't it? That's for kids shows at that time. Anything pre-12. Mm-hmm. I think if you're a certain person, certain act, you could get away with a midday, a bit of a...
Yeah.
But other than that, anything before that. And then I think anything after 10:30 at a weekend is going to be very difficult.
Yeah, it's fucking hectic. Yeah. So if you want to see Josh Pugh do a concert in Edinburgh this summer, what is the show called?
At the minute, I mean, it's a working title. It's called Danger, Danger, High Voltage.
Love it.
Nice.
At the minute. But that could
love
change.
Love that. Fuck, love it.
Yeah.
do look him up. That'll be one of the best ways to spend an hour at Edinburgh. Do follow him. He's consistently fucking incredible. Thank you so much for joining us, Josh.
No, thanks for your patience with the tech. Honestly, it's been I can't explain this setup I've got here.
Send a picture and we'll be sharing the episode.
Yeah, please send a picture.
I think the whole blurb about this episode will be like the old lady who swallowed a fly. We'll just go, so Josh was on this device. We were sharing headphones. Blah, blah, blah. If you can sit with this podcast, you can listen
to
anything.
Honestly, if I took everything I've got here into like an entertainment exchange, you're probably looking at like 12 quid. genuinely.
I feel like any sound engineers listening might want to end their lives after they listen.
Oh, they'll be convulsing. Yeah, totally.
Josh, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you both.
Call me on the phone if you decide to come on by, I'll be waiting all alone the whole week through. I'm on the town, but Sunday always gets me down. So come by Sunday, make it after 3. Come by Sunday and spend some time with me. All week through I'm on the town, but Sunday always gets me down. So come by Sunday, make it after 3. Come by Sunday